Thank you so much for joining us for Worship and Word at Three Trees Church Online. We are so glad to have you with us. Take a moment and share this content on your social media so that your extended family and friends will be blessed by this powerful message and our time together. I also want to encourage you to please stay connected with us at threetrees.com and on our social media pages. And as always, I want to remind you that you are in the right place at the right time.
I want to talk for just a few minutes out of John chapter 11. I wasn't planning on speaking this message today, but it just wouldn't leave me, so I just kind of surrendered to the idea that this is what I feel I need to be sharing, and I'm really hoping it's going to help somebody. John chapter number 11, we're going to read out of just a few of those verses, and I'm just going to talk to you about a simple idea. John chapter 11 says this: "Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, of the village of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. The sisters therefore sent unto him," talking about Jesus, "they sent him a message saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." Aren't you glad Jesus loves sick people? Aren't you thankful that God is drawn to our messed up, screwed up, imperfect, inconsistent selves? I don't want you to touch anybody, but look at somebody again and say, "I know you're sick." Come on, just tell I don't know much about you, but I know you're sick. Jesus loves sick people. But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This sickness is not unto death." Watch this. "But for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified thereby." What Jesus is parenthetically inserting randomly, it seems random, he's just saying this thing, and what he's saying is, this is not going to turn out the way you think it's going to turn out. I play by a different set of rules. It's going to look one way, but when it's all said and done, I'm going to get the glory out of this. "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, and when therefore he heard that he was sick, he abode at that time 2 days in the place where he was." Final verse, skip ahead just a few verses. "Jesus saith, take ye away the stone. Martha and the sister of him that was sick saith unto him, Lord, by this time," at this point, "the body decayeth, for he hath been dead for 4 days. Today I want to preach to you on the title, The Rolling Stones. Can you say that with me? The Rolling Stones. Some old rockers in the room started perking up. Oh, hallelujah. Everybody say The Rolling Stones. Let's pray. God, I don't know why I'm preaching this message today, but I feel like somebody needs to be told what's going to be said today. And I pray that something will be said in the next few moments that they're going to come to life again, some places that have gone to sleep and some places that have died and some places that have dissipated and struggled. And I just feel in my heart today someone's going to sense new life in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I grew up in the church. My dad's a pastor, been in church my entire life. And growing up, I would hear preachers get up and say so many different phrases that you hear in church oftentimes. And one of the statements that, if you know you're really born and raised in the church, if you heard this, somebody get up and they say, "God is good all the time." And all the time, God, you real saved if you knew how that worked. Lady down here didn't know how it worked, so you ain't real saved. But God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. And it's actually sometimes kind of hard to believe that. It's good in theory. It's a great statement we say at church that God is good all the time, but sometimes it doesn't feel like God is good all the time, because good all the time, life isn't good. I can believe that God is good all the time. Sometimes it feels like God's good half the time, or part of the time, or a little bit of the time, or most of the time. But all the time, is God really good all the time? In this passage, we find two sisters that are notorious for being worshipers and servants. Every time you see them, they're doing something for the kingdom. They're worshiping Jesus. They're serving people. They're loving individuals. They're heartfelt people. And these two people have a brother named Lazarus. Now, Jesus is well connected to Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. They're in the inner sanctum of his life. And Jesus finds out that Lazarus is sick, and the scripture goes on in verse 5 and 6, and if the media department could help me out to put verse 5 back on the screen, I want you to look at something. Now, Jesus loved Martha. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. He loved them. But in verse 6, it says, when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. That's confusing, isn't it? The idea that God loved them but yet was not there for them. Isn't it confusing to live between a verse 5 and a verse 6? Imagine being Mary and Martha living between the tension of knowing that God loves them but yet feeling he is absent from them. I know that there are people in this room that can relate to the Mary and Marthas in life that feel like, I know God loves me. Like, I know his word says he loves me. Grew up in church, and we would sing songs like, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible says. We know theoretically, theologically, mentally, that he loves me, he cares about me. But why does it seem that he's not here? If God is so good, then why do I feel so bad? If God really loved me, then why do I experience the abuse that I have experienced in my life or the anxiety that I live with from day to day? If God loves me, then why did this death take place? And if God really cared, why did I experience this loss? If God really loves me, why am I walking through this pain? And if God is so good, Pastor Ethan, he's good all the time and all the time. God, if God is good all the time, why do I feel bad half the time? Anybody know what I'm talking about? That you have lived this tension between verse 5 and verse 6. I know that you love me, but why do you seem so uninvolved? And let me encourage someone today that it is possible to know that God loves you and still wonder if God is with you. It's possible in life's journey that you could know God and love his church and love your pastor and love the Bible, but at times what you can theoretically know and theologically know, what you can know in your mind can feel so different than what you experience in your life. And the situation in the text in John chapter 11 goes from bad to worse. Goes from bad to worse. Jesus did not go to where he needed, where they were expecting him to be, and the Bible says that Lazarus dies. He's no longer sick, he's now dead. And Jesus never sent a text message. He never sent a card, never sent flowers, never went to the hospital. Jesus didn't even make it. And finally, when he decided to come, he didn't come 1 day late. He didn't come 2 days late. He didn't come three. Jesus came 4 days late. He had missed all of this stuff. He missed the calling hours, funeral, graveside, the chicken afterwards. Come on, somebody. He missed the collard greens and mashed potatoes and the homemade noodles. He missed all of it. Jesus missed everything. It's unfortunate that when people die, but let's be honest, we all love to eat after a funeral. Come on, I'm just kidding. Kentucky people, yeah, baby. But when we look in this particular text, we see that Jesus was late. He did not come when they expected. He did not come when they were expecting him to come. And when he finally came, it was so late. The scripture says that he was decaying in the grave. And Martha, when they find out Jesus comes, and just classic female status, comes out in that yard and meets him in before he even got to the house. She may have had a belt in her hand. I don't know. But when Martha got out to the yard and saw Jesus, she looked at him and said, if you would have been here, if you just would have been here. You got to understand the context of her frustration. Mary and Martha have either seen or heard the miracles firsthand. They've seen where Jesus has raised the dead. They have seen where Jesus touched blind eyes and they were opened. They could have been there when blind Bartimaeus was healed, or the woman with the issue of blood was healed, or the man with the withered hand was restored. They could have been there in the room, and they knew if Jesus would have been there, something could have happened. If you just would have been here. They had a point of reference, if you will. They could remember the times that somebody came and Jesus just sent a word. And at their house, they were healed. They can recall the times where Jesus would be in the crowd and somebody would come to him and he would pray for them and they would be restored. They can remember the moments where Jesus made moves on behalf of other people. But in their particular situation, they even sent a message. They even text Jesus, called Jesus, no answer, no return, never came back, never came. And they can look around and see that everybody else is experiencing this fullness of Jesus' ministry but me. Have you ever been there where you can look around and see that everybody else is getting the promotion on the job and you're still stuck at the job that you hate? You're seeing that other people are getting debt-free or paying off cars or getting a new car, or they prayed for that pregnancy and they got pregnant and you still can't get pregnant. You have prayed that God would heal this person and other people got healed and this person passes away. You have believed God for something supernatural to take place, and in the lives of other people it just seemed easy, but in your life it seems like Jesus didn't come. You know he loves you in verse 5, but you're feeling like he doesn't in verse 6. Anybody hear what I'm talking about? They have no doubt about Jesus' ability to heal. They have no doubt that he loves them, but they are doubting his timing. Have you ever been there where you don't doubt God's miraculous hand? You don't doubt that God can provide. You don't doubt that God can open doors and create opportunities. You don't doubt what he can do. You just doubt the timing of when he does things. And in the passage, we find that they are irritated with God. They're irritated with Jesus. It's one thing, Pastor Johnny, my friend, it's one thing to be upset with people. It's another thing to be upset with God. When you look, she says, if you just would have been here. I think many of us live in this place of frustration because we have expectations of how we think God has to do things for us. It's almost as if we pick up a pen and we begin to write the story that we think God has to fulfill in our lives. I'm going to be married by the time I'm 25 years old. And when I'm 25 years old, I'm going to buy my house down by the lake. And when I'm 25 and a half, we're going to have 2.7 kids. And we're going to have a little white picket fence. And me and my mama, we ain't going to fight no more. And my daddy, he's going to come over there and mow the yard. And my husband's always going to be in shape and have a six-pack. And then you look in life, and it doesn't look like that. And it doesn't seem to play out like that. You know, I've done a lot of weddings and funerals. And one thing about weddings is, you know, you'll stand in front of a great crowd of people and a husband and a wife, and they're making these vows. And they're going to do this whole thing. And they're so excited. And they're just dreaming of all this, the future. But when they say that half of marriages end up in divorce, nobody stands up here thinking they're going to be divorced. No one stands up here. Nobody's holding a baby at a hospital today, a being brand new born child, and thinking that in 6, 7 months or a year or 10 years that they could lose that child. That stuff happens, unfortunately. Those things take place. It wasn't in our plans. It wasn't what we thought. It wasn't what we dreamed. It's not even what we want. But if we were honest, sometimes life plays cards that we don't want. things we didn't choose, things we didn't desire, things we don't want to be a part of, but sometimes life plays cards we don't want. And in this story, Jesus, they have their pen, they've written it out, what they think Jesus should do, what Jesus should say, how Jesus should act, and he finally comes to the family in need, and the Bible says, like, it's over, it's done. The funeral procession is over, the preacher's gone home, the chairs are put up, and the tomb is filled with Lazarus's body, and the stone was rolled in front of it. And in that moment, it's emotional, they're crying. Even the Bible says in verse 35 that Jesus is even weeping himself. It's a powerful moment. And in that moment, Jesus looks at them. Now, you got to understand that Jesus, just a few verses prior, says, hey, listen, this sickness is not unto death, but to the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified thereby. What he was saying, as I said prior, is that this isn't going to look how you think it's going to look, but when it's all said and done, I'm going to get the glory out of it. And Jesus comes into this crowd of people, these mourners, these broken, hurt people, and he says something really fascinating. He looks at them and says, okay, guys, you roll away the stone. Like, you roll away the stone. Jesus looks at all these people crying and says, you roll away the stone. Let me just say this. Is there are just some things God will not do. That in order for us to see the supernatural power of God, there are just some things in our lives that God will not do. God will not do our part, and we cannot do his part. Behind that stone is a dead body that in just a few verses, Jesus is going to say, Lazarus, come forth. And this decaying, rotten, dead body will come back to life and will walk out, or will come out of that tomb. In just a few verses, we're going to see the miracle. In just a few verses, we know what happens. We've been raised in church. We can skip down 3 or 4 verses and know how the story ends. But Mary and Martha didn't know. They didn't know what was going to happen. They just knew if Jesus said to roll the stone away, I'm going to roll the stone away. Can I inform you today, there may be some stones that you may need to roll back in order to see everything that God has for you. There may be some things that stand in the way that God is saying, I could raise that marriage up from its deathbed, but I need you to roll the stone of your attitude back before that marriage comes back to life. Is there anybody with me this morning at Three Trees Church? You may be thinking that your finances are dead and gone and over, but maybe, just maybe, you need to roll the stone of a budget and be willing to tithe and be willing to give and be willing to support. Because if you'll roll the stone, he can raise the dead. If you can do your part, God will do his part. I want to encourage people that even if you're thinking it's gone too far, it's too dead now, the marriage is too gone, I have too many disappointments, I've walked this life too long and lost too many people I love to dream again. But God is challenging someone today to do the hard work on your end and be willing to roll it anyway. Every time you may be feeling like it's impossible and this is pointless and why are we doing it, roll away. Roll anyway. You may have to take the class, stay late, study a long time to get the opportunities that are behind the stone that God has for you. I want to encourage you, roll it anyway. You may be wondering today about the heart inside of you that may feel challenged of an ex that you used to be in a relationship with and you don't want to forgive them. I want to tell somebody, forgive them anyway. Roll it anyway. Budget anyway. You may be thinking, my kid's too far from God. My kid's got away from the presence of God. But can I tell you today, pray anyway. Roll the stone anyway. Fast anyway. Worship anyway. Whatever it takes. Because rolling stones can change everything. If we're willing to roll the stones, he's willing to raise the dead. And I want you to imagine with me the woman in the Bible who was caught in the act of adultery. In John chapter number 8, this lady who had sinned and failed and messed up and was legitimately guilty. She had no excuses. She had no defense. There was nothing she could say. There was nothing she could do. And when she was in that moment, in that season of her life, they drug her out in front of everybody. The religious crowd drugged this woman out in front of everybody. And Jesus is standing there, and they take that woman, and they put her on the ground there, and she's bawling her eyes out, I'm sure, and Jesus is writing on the ground. It's a chaotic scene, and they say, all right, the law says stone this woman. And the woman looks back and looking at Jesus, and just imagine this moment, and Jesus says something so profound. He looks at this crowd and says, if you don't have sin, go ahead, cast the first stone. And the Bible says, starting from the eldest to the youngest, they begin to drop stones, right? Remember the story? Drop the stones, they begin to drop the stones. And when you think about that, when that lady who was guilty and was wrong and has sinned heard stones drop and heard those stones rolling and falling, can you imagine the mercy that she felt in her soul, the grace she felt in her soul, the power, empowerment in her soul to know that I got a new life today. I got a new dream today. Jesus said, go and sin no more. You have a new chapter today. I know somebody came today feeling condemned and shamed and feeling broken but for your past. But can I tell you today, God's dropping the stone. People have dropped the stone. And God is saying today, you can have a new chapter. Roll the stones. Because rolling stones can change everything. Roman soldiers on the darkest day of human history beat our Lord Jesus to the point of he was unrecognizable. They spit in his face. They mocked him. They pulled the beard from his face. They punched and slapped him. They stripped him. They nailed him on a cross and he died. The Bible says that they borrowed a tomb and they were going to put his body in it. No doubt, all of hell was celebrating that moment. No doubt, the demons were dancing in celebration saying, finally, we've stopped the kingdom of God on the earth. No one else can ever be healed by Jesus. No one else could ever be restored by Jesus. No one else can ever be delivered by Jesus. Let's roll the stone in front of this body. Let's set guards around the stone because we don't want anybody to come take the body of Jesus. And no doubt darkness celebrated the day Jesus died. But little did hell know that on the third day, all of angels came from heaven and rolled the stone back. And the greatest miracle transpired when stones rolled away, because rolling stones change everything. Hell can't stop when God wants to heal. Hell can't stop when God wants to deliver. Hell can't stop when he wants to get out of the grave, because I've come to tell somebody today, rolling stones can change everything. The enemy is not discounting the power of Jesus to restore. He is counting you out to not roll away stones. He doesn't doubt that Jesus can heal. He doesn't doubt that Jesus can raise the dead. He doesn't doubt that he can work miracles. But he is counting on your discouragement to keep the stone over the miracle. He is counting on your depression to say there's nothing here that could ever happen. By this time, he's decaying. By this time, it's over. By this time, it's done. He's counting on you to never roll the stone. But today, I've come all the way to this church in the middle of Hootenannyville, Kentucky, to tell somebody it's time to roll the stone. You're too old to keep that stone there. You're too young to keep that stone there. Your children need you to move the stone. Your ministry needs you to move the stone. Don't let bitterness keep God out of your life. It's time somebody shout, roll the stone. If you can roll the stone, he can raise the dead. If you'll do your part, he'll do his part. Can you imagine what would happen in communities if we rolled the stones? Can you imagine what would happen in youth groups that rolled the stone? Imagine what would happen in your life, where it could be 12 months from now, if you took the responsibility and knew that your attitude is the problem and your thoughts are the problem, and there may be some things that says, God, whatever's in the way, give me the strength to move it, because I know behind it, Lazarus is going to live again. You know, maybe this sermon's for me, I don't know, but this week I had an uncle who loved God, knew his Bible so well, and Pastor Johnny, he was diagnosed with an inoperable cancer 4 months ago, and very rapidly we lost him just the other day. And what's really hard, guys, is that this man loved God. God loved him. He believed in the miraculous power of God. And up to his dying moments, he was quoting the word of God and praying and believing and encouraging his family. And I would go and take communion with him, and he would just quote scripture so much. I thought he was, at this point, I told him, like, you showing off now, cowboy. He just was oozing out of him. I would go in there and I would say, by his stripes you are healed. I'd go in there with his wife. We laid hands on him and we would say that, God, if you didn't want to heal him, you shouldn't have healed him, because on Calvary, he's already well. We would speak the word of God over him, believing for him. And then November the 11th, a little after 5, he passed away. And the question I have is, could easily be Martha and Mary, and if you just would have been there, like, you know, people would have celebrated the healing, and I mean, this would have been good, God, like, this is, your name's on the line, not mine. And I got questions, and I don't know the answers, and sometimes you got to have a high capacity for mystery as you follow Christ, but I'll say this, I know two things. Number one, Jesus is still a healer. It doesn't matter if every person on the planet passed away from an incurable disease. Can I tell you today, Jesus, still a healer. Number two, I don't understand why his story played out that way, and I have questions, and I don't know the answers, but I can tell you this. The sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God will be glorified thereby. We didn't write it to look like this, but God has picked up the pen. And when God writes a great story, when God writes it, when God picks up the pen, he'll write a story, and God will get the glory out of Charles Boggs's passing. I believe in my heart, with everything inside of me, everything in my being, that God will get the glory, even if it wasn't the story we wanted to tell, even if it isn't how you wanted to tell it, even if you had to walk past caskets of people you love, even if you had to lose the job that you like, even if things didn't work out the way. Here's the reality. The Bible says that all things work together for the good to them that love God. He's going to get the glory. Roll the stone of discouragement away and be encouraged, and encourage yourself and say, thank God Charlie Boggs lived for Jesus. Thank God my baby's in heaven. Thank God my body is still healed. Thank God God for the breath in my body and the food on my table, because God's getting the glory out of my story. And if there's anybody at Three Trees thankful for Jesus, why don't you get on your feet and give God praise that he's writing a good story in your life. This day, stones are rolling. This day, hope is coming back. This day, attitudes are changing. Hearts are being transformed, because today, everything changes. We roll the stones. Can you remain standing with us? I believe today, and this is the final service, so we're going to run till probably 2 or 3 p.m. if y'all want to hang. But on a serious note, I really do believe that message would not leave me. And maybe it was for me, and maybe it's just for the season I'm in, but I just really believe there's people in the room living between verse 5 and 6, and you got questions, and God, I know that you love me, and I know that you're there, and I know that you care, but why does it seem like you're distant, and why does it seem like you're not involved, and why does it seem... Can I tell you today, I seriously preached that sermon to answer that question and say this: I don't know. I don't. But what I do know, he will get glory. He knows what he's doing. He knows where you're at. Pastor Johnny, man, you're my favorite dude in this whole church, by the way. Sorry, Pastor Jason, your son. But I tell you this, you know, the other day, I didn't tell this in the other service, and the other day I was at the house, and my little boy, he's going to be 4 on Tuesday, and he was at the house, and I, you know, as a parent, how you watch your kids, or as a dad, I don't watch my kids with my eyes, I watch my kids with my ears, right? Anybody know what I'm talking about? If they're quiet, you're like, what in the name of Jesus are they doing, you know? But my son got real quiet, and I couldn't find where he was. I'm like, Judah, where are you? And he said, this is what he said: I don't know. You don't know where you are? And let me tell you something. I was calm because I knew he was safe. But let me just say this. Even when you don't know where you are, God knows where you are. And he has every hair on your head numbered, every step you have ordered, a purpose and a plan in your life that is an expected end. And God knows exactly what he's doing. And so right now you may feel like Mary and Martha thinking, oh my, oh my. It's so bad. God's not going to do it. It's so bad. The world is so bad. The world's falling apart. My family is falling apart. Things have gotten to the worst case scenario I could ever imagine. It's okay. It's okay. All things, not some things, not a little bit of the, everything. And on your dying bed, one day when you're old, you're going to look back and say, all things work together.
Yeah.
He knew what he was doing the whole time. It may not come when you want it, like the old church used to say, but he'll be here right on time. Three Trees, are you thankful for the word of God today? Can you close your eyes all over the room? I just want to ask you a question. If you're in the room and you feel like some days you're between verse 5 and you're between verse 6, you know God's a healer, you know God's good, you know God's faithful, you know he can provide opportunities and open up doors for you, but deep inside your heart you have your doubts, because it doesn't seem as though he's present when you think he should be, where you think he should be, why he, I really feel somebody in the room, I'm connecting to him. There is somebody here, people here, God is talking to you, and you have been feeling this tension of wondering, God, will I live through it again? Can I push through this season? Are you even there? If that's you, I just want you, between heaven and you, it's not for me, I want you to raise a hand to heaven and say, God, sometimes I feel like I'm between verse 5 and 6. Thank you. I feel like I'm between verse 5 and 6. I'm stuck there in the middle. I need help. I need restoration. I know more about you sometimes than I feel like you're doing in my life. Lazarus, arise again. God, I thank you for every individual in this room. I know that you have a plan, and I know that you have a destiny, and I know that you have purpose for every person present. I pray that you give us the strength to roll our stones back. I pray that you, who have done so many mighty things for so many people, you'll do it again. You're going to do it something in our hearts, something in our lives, something significant. And when the enemy keeps telling you it's too far gone, the body's decayed, it's over now. At this point, this season of your life, at this age, after the divorce, after the bankruptcy, after the abortion, after the, everything that you have experienced, it's too far gone. But I've come to tell somebody the devil is a liar. And today, new life is coming to your life today in Jesus' name. If you believe it, somebody give God a praise in this place that he hasn't heard all day.
Hey, church, thank you so much for joining us today at Three Trees Church Online. We believe that you are in the right place at the right time. I want to encourage you and let you know that Three Trees Church is continuing to find needs and meet needs, and your generosity makes that possible. It helps us to continue to be a life-giving and a need-meeting ministry. There are three ways that you can give. You can give at threetrees.com/give, or you can mail your check to P.O. Box 399, Columbia, Kentucky 42728, or you can text the word GIVE to the number 270-250-7595. Church, thank you so much for your generosity, and as always, we want to encourage you to stay connected with us, share the content, and stay submitted to Christ. We thank you so much, church, for being faithful in your generosity. God bless you.